My name's Vicky, and I'm part of the teaching team. It's great to be back, even if it's on Zoom. It's just great to be here, seeing you guys, and seeing your faces and your kids' faces. And we've just been missing everybody a lot. And we just thought that this was supposed to be like 1 or 2 months, which is now totally laughable, you know? So anyway, we're hanging in there. So my sophomore year, I was invited to go on a missions trip to inner city Detroit. And I was invited by my Bible study leader, and I had other plans. I had planned that during that summer, I was gonna go do an internship in communications so that it would just kind of advance me in my career. And that was something that I had planned a while ago. And that was what my parents wanted for me. That was what I wanted for myself. And so even though my Bible study leader said like, hey, why don't you pray about it and get back to me? I didn't really pray about it because I knew what I wanted to do. So I went back to him and I said, you know what? Thanks for the invite, but no thanks. I'm not going to go on the missions trip. And he asked me, so did you pray about it? And, you know, like I obviously didn't. So I said, no. So he just asked, like, can we just pray about it right now and see if God has anything to say and listen to him? And yeah, if that's okay with you. And so I said, okay. And I, you know, even though I'd grown up in the church, I didn't have a lot of experience listening to God in prayer. I just usually said a bunch of stuff and then I was like, okay, bye, you know, or amen, you know, like amen, my version of bye. And just did what I wanted to do, you know, but had started learning and growing in hearing from God and creating space to hear what he might have to say to me. And even though I didn't really know a lot about what God would say and whether or not he would speak, I was trying to create space in my heart and in my prayers for that. And so we prayed and he said, okay, now we're going to listen to God and see if he has anything to say. And so we did. And I saw this picture of Jesus and me, and I was a kid and we were holding hands walking on this path. And it was this nice paved road and it was wide and we were walking together shoulder to shoulder, but at some point the path split into two. And one path was kind of continuous and it was connected to our path and it was continuously like paved and it was wide and it was lovely. And then the other path had like yellow caution tape all over it and it was like rocky and it like dipped down and it just looked like really hazardous and dangerous. And so I naturally like led Jesus by the hand to the path that looked normal and looked, you know, like the one that we wanted to travel on. And Jesus held me back and he said, wait, we should go on this path. And I said, yeah, no, like that's a dangerous path. Like there's caution on it, right? So we shouldn't go on that. And he stooped down and he brushed aside the gravel and I could see that it was gold underneath. And he said, do you trust me? And that was all I heard. So we finished the prayer and my Bible study leader asked like, did you hear anything? I said, no, I don't know. Like, I think I saw this thing and I shared it. And he said, wow, like, what do you think it means? And after some conversation, we decided that I should go on the missions trip. And from that point on, I had always, the image of Jesus has always been one who led me by the hand and walked with me. The picture of him as my guide and my protector, the one who would be my shepherd, even if it meant a lot of times he would lead me down these paths that I would not personally choose to go on. But the fact that I could trust that he knew that they were paths of gold and he could see beyond what I could see, or he could see like what the path was, and he knew me for who I was. I was able to trust him despite whatever circumstances was happening. And that summer was incredible for me. I had learned things I didn't expect to learn. I grew in my heart for justice and racial reconciliation, and I just grew in my heart for God. And I don't think I would have chosen that on my own, you know? Obviously, I didn't choose that on my own. And we are in this series of I Am, the I Am series, where Jesus in the book of John shares about who he is, and he shares different images of who he is. Last week, Joel shared about how Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And today we're going to talk about how Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And we want to know who Jesus says he is. We don't want just, you know, say we want him to be this, or we put on him to be this guy. You know, we want to hear what Jesus says he is. And not only that, we want to know who Jesus is, because it informs us of who we follow, but also who we are, right? Like, what we follow says a lot about who we are, right? Our podcasts and what we listen to, books, shows, like all those things say who we want to be or who we are, right? Like, I am watching The Home Edit on Netflix, and it says that I want to bring organization out of chaos in my life currently, right? Like, we listen to podcasts about thinking outside the box and learning how to be citizens of the world, or we read books on how to be better parents, or we watch different things that help us just be better and more effective and efficient as people, right? Like, what we follow and who we follow says a lot about who we are. Now, the context of John 10 is that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. In John 9, Jesus has just healed a blind man and changed his life, basically, right? He does this miracle and he changes this man's life. And the Pharisees are really upset with him because he did it on the Sabbath, right? They're not able to see that this man's life is transformed. They're not able to see this incredible miracle that they got to be a part of. All they're fixated on is that he did it on the Sabbath and it broke one of their rules, and they want to kill him. They are blinded by the rules of righteousness and their rigid systems of holiness, and they have missed the heart of God. And so that's John 9, and this is Jesus' response to them in John 10, in being the good shepherd. Now, there's obviously other people in the mix. The disciples are in the mix, which is why John is able to record this, this interaction. But also there are other listeners, right? Like, people have been following him and listening to him as a teacher. So other people are gathered around to hear what Jesus has to say to the Pharisees. So let's look at what Jesus says in John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Okay, so just very simply, what makes a good shepherd, right? A good shepherd is one that lays down his life for the sheep, right? Like, he protects the sheep even to the point of danger to his own life. He cares for them, and we see that he has relationship with the sheep, right? It says that he knows the sheep and his sheep know him. They know his voice, right? So he doesn't just think like, oh, here's a big group of sheep, I can't tell you guys apart. Like, he has names and he knows the personalities and needs of every single one of these sheep. And he knows like which ones like to like, you know, kind of stay in the corner near the exit, and which one needs like more water than usual, you know, like just kind of like how parents know their kids and like their temperaments and everything. He knows his sheep and his sheep know him. And in addition, he goes out of his way and out of his comfort to look for the sheep that are lost and wanders off, right? He's not just content with the sheep that are in the pen, and then to the sheep that goes off, he's like, you know what? Like, you're lost. You're supposed to stay in here. But he actually goes after them. He looks for them. We see that juxtaposed with a hired hand, right? We see that a hired hand does his job half-heartedly, but if something bad happens, he saves himself and leaves. Right? That he's like, this is just my job. Like, I don't own these sheep. I have no investment here. So I'm not going to die for these sheep. Like, that's crazy. And so he's not invested, right? And we understand this. If you own a business or if you, yeah, like, or if you have hired someone to kind of keep track of something that you care about very personally, you know what it's like to lose something in your business or like go in the red, but somebody that you hire might not care about that, right? So that totally makes sense for us. And the Pharisees, even if they don't understand what Jesus is referring to at this point, they for sure know that this sounds a lot like Ezekiel 34, right? Because the Pharisees are teachers of the law. So they know scripture really well. And they, as Jesus is saying this, they're like, oh, he's referring to Ezekiel 34. So let's just look at Ezekiel 34. It is, the context is that God's people have been taken into Babylon. They are in exile. They're scattered all over the place. And God's leaders who are supposed to lead and protect them and keep the law and their identity as God's people deep in their hearts, they have kind of fled. They've just taken care of themselves. And so here, God is saying to those leaders of Israel, you eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they are scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. And later on, it says, God says, and I am going to send the true shepherd to come and do what you will not do. And he's going to bind up the broken and the injured. He's going to heal the sick. He is going to look for his sheep who are scattered all over the place and bring them back to be one flock with one shepherd, right? So even as you hear that, I'm sure you're hearing echoes of that in John 10. And so if the Pharisees are not getting the fact that Jesus is saying, you're the hired hand and you suck, they will for sure understand that he's referring to Ezekiel 34, which is like a major like diss on the leaders and saying, yeah, you're not doing your job. You're just taking care of yourself. You're a horrible leader. And I'm going to send the true shepherd to come because you guys are not shepherds. You guys are horrible at this. And the Pharisees will get it, right? They will understand the warning in this passage. And people, in addition, are listening to that. They're hearing Jesus say that the Pharisees are like those bad leaders in Ezekiel 34. They're hearing that Jesus is saying, you're the hired hand. You don't really care about these sheep, right? And they have to make the decision. Am I going to follow this establishment, this spiritual establishment that I have always known and have always followed? Or am I going to follow Jesus, who's bringing this new teaching and healing on the Sabbath and breaking these rules that I've always thought were important, right? Who are they going to trust? Now, like I said, who we follow says a lot about who we are, right? So we see that Jesus is saying that he's the good shepherd. Well, that means that we're the sheep. And, you know, I know that we've been getting a lot of different pets during the pandemic, but I haven't heard of anyone getting sheep yet. But this is what sheep are like. I have a really cute picture of a sheep right now. Shinji, if you could put that up. Sheep are really cute and fluffy, right? But they are, look at that. That is a target for any meat-eating predator out there, right? They're slow. Look at those feet. That's not going to help them run away, right? They are not camouflaged, obviously. They're not sleek. They have no weapons to wield like poison venom or fangs. They used to have these horns, but domesticated sheep didn't, right? So even in Jesus' time in the agrarian society, the sheep did not have horns to protect themselves. They are completely defenseless. And that's what we're supposed to be. And to top it off, sheep are dumb. I'm sorry to use the D word if kids are watching, but they're dumb animals. When they're scared or anxious, they run away from the flock and shepherd, right? They're extremely skittish animals. And they scatter just like the way that predators want them to. right? They don't have good depth perception, so they're clumsy and they get lost easily. They can't lead themselves to food and water. I've read somewhere that a sheep will just eat the grass until it's gone, and it's too stupid to look up and realize they need to take a few steps forward to get more grass. So they'll continue eating dirt until the shepherd comes and leads them to more grass. Oh my goodness, right? Sheep are like, yeah, I don't want to associate myself with sheep, right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a sheep. It is insulting that God keeps using the imagery that we are his sheep and he is the shepherd. I don't know, right? Like, you know, Psalm 23, like it's all throughout scripture. I want to be a lion or a gazelle or even like a poisonous tree frog, but sheep are the worst. So during the pandemic times, you know, they were like, well, we're going to take an extended spring break and we'll come back in a few weeks, you know? And I was like, I'm a gazelle. I can pivot like a beast, you know, I will push through and it'll be like for a month or two and then we'll figure it out. We can do this. We're strong, you know, like we can do this together. And so I was fine, right? And whenever people asked me like how I was doing and how my family was doing, I was like, I'm fine. We're doing okay. We're making the best of it. We're trying to have a good attitude. We're not loving it, but we're strong and we're resilient. We can do this. And then a month in, with no end in sight, my body breaks out in a rash, like all over. And it doesn't go away. And it's so itchy that I can't sleep at night. I'm like scratching, I'm bleeding. It's just bad, right? And yeah, like it's like my body refused to put up a facade of fine. It was like, no, it betrayed me. And it said, I'm not fine. I hate this. I hate change. I hate our plans getting canceled and not knowing when this is going to be over. I hate being stuck. I hate the chaos that it brings. And I'm stressed out, right? So my body was like, I'm telling the truth here, right? I don't like this. So I went to the doctor and they had some small suggestions, which, you know, kind of worked here and there, but I'm still having flare-ups. I'm still kind of, you know, dealing with it. And it flares up during stress and allergies. And my husband was like, is there anything I can do to help you not feel so stressed? And I'm like, I don't know, like get rid of coronavirus. I don't know. Right. So our bodies don't lie. I thought I was a gazelle, but I am rigid and anxious. I have bad depth perception and dang it, I'm a sheep. Right? I am needy, invulnerable, unable to heal myself, unable to fix everything. I pose like a lion, but when the wolf comes, it is obvious that I need a shepherd. In moments when things get hard, it's guaranteed the wolf is going to come, right? The passage does not say if the wolf comes, but it's when the wolf comes, the things that we trust and follow will show their true colors. And who we are also will show our true colors. Now, in addition to just looking to myself to save myself and rescue myself, I look to different things to rescue us, right? Governor Brown, please tell me when we are in phase two and we can go back to school, right? When the fires were here and we were having friends that were needing to potentially evacuate at any moment, we were looking to the rain, right? Like, oh, Monday or Tuesday, please come so that we can contain the fires and we can be able to go outside and return to normal coronavirus, right? When the vaccine is here, we will go back to normalcy. There were different things that I am looking to rescue us. There are things that I'm trusting in that will save us from this path that we're on, right? These hired hands. Now, I wouldn't call them my shepherds per se, but I was following these updates like a hawk. I was checking my phone, you know, like for updates every 10 minutes. And I was relying on them to save me. Now, I don't think we ever follow anything or trust anything thinking that they're going to fail us, right? Like, oh, you're the hired hand. When the things get hard, you're just going to bail on me. No, we trust them because they say they're going to take care of us. We trust them because they have a staff and they make promises and they think they'll provide for us, right? But especially in times like this, it is so evident when they fail. And it's not just in these times and these seasons, but there are things that we trust in just in our lives that we go to rescue us and provide for us, right? For some of us, we look to our job, or maybe not our current job, but an ideal job that's like, oh, when I get that job, like, I'm not going to have money worries anymore, right? Like, and, you know, my parents are going to get off my back and life is going to be rosy again, you know, or like on my education, you know, when that is over, I'm going to be able to be independent and my parents are going to be proud of me and I'm just going to be able to move on with my life. Or for some of us, we trust in the hired hand of finding that perfect guy or girl, right? When that guy is going to pay attention to me, or when that girl is going to decide that we should date, man, my life is going to be made, right? I'm not going to have to deal with like my insecurities or lust or any of those things when I find that perfect person and we settle down, right? For some of us during the pandemic, it's been about our living space. Man, when I finally move into this neighborhood or in a house that has outdoor space or has extra rooms for all the clutter that I have, when it has a garage that is attached to the house or whatever, then my life is going to feel peaceful or finally right. Right? Like there are different things that we look to save us and rescue us. And we just think if and when that happens, it's going to be okay. Now, for me, especially during this time, I don't think I've realized how much I have relied on my government to do the right thing. I've trusted in the circles of accountability in government. I've placed my hope in them to guide us and protect us and create policies and laws that are going to be good. Right? And they have proven themselves to be hired hands. And it doesn't mean that we don't help to fix the broken system and not be engaged, but man, it has not been the good shepherd. And I've found myself relying on them and following them more than I should, right? Trusting that, oh yeah, they're the shepherd. Like they're the good shepherd. They're going to keep us safe. And they've proven to be the hired hand. I've felt like a sheep left to be hunted by the wolf while the hired hand feasts and turns a blind eye. Who are the hired hands that we follow? Who are the hired hands that we trust during this time, during the pandemic, and just in general? Where do our hearts give allegiance to that we trust is going to rescue us and bring us to safety? Now, like I said, God created us to be sheep, which sometimes I don't like. But as much as I said that we are defenseless as sheep, God actually does not create us to be defenseless. He gives us two defenses. One is our shepherd. He does not create us to be sheep and then not give us a shepherd. He actually created us to be sheep because he knew that he was going to give us the best shepherd ever. One that was going to take care of us and watch out for us, lay his life down for us. A shepherd that would know each of us individually and personally, that was going to go out of their way to make sure that we were rescued and safe. That even when we wandered and we ran out of the pen because we were skittish or we didn't trust the shepherd or we didn't listen to his voice, he was still going to go after us and bring us back. He gives us a good shepherd. That is our first defense. And our second defense is our flock. He gives us a flock. We are created as flock animals, where being in a large group, it keeps us safe. The strategy of the predator is to scatter us and isolate us so that we are absolutely defenseless, right? He's absolutely going to get that sheep that's out there by himself much quicker than he's going to attack the large flock together. Because as much as they are sheep and they're cute and fluffy, it is more intimidating when there's a lot of them, right? They can kind of like with their like little shoulders push out the wolf, right? But if you're by yourself, like forget it. So the other defense is our flock. Those are our two defenses. And I find that there are three temptations that happen for me all the time. The first is the temptation to isolate, right? When I'm not doing well, when I feel overwhelmed, when I don't feel like I have enough bandwidth for more words and more time and more space, I say no to everything. I don't return texts. I don't return voicemails. I don't return emails. I just kind of keep myself in this safe little cocoon, right? And the problem is when I am isolating, I don't do well. I spiral, right? Like I am keeping these thoughts in my head and I just get worse and worse and I get more and more insular and it's just a dangerous place for me to be. And so the temptation to isolate is always there for me. And when I start seeing that, when I start seeing that like, oh yeah, I'm not engaging with people and I'm not like, you know, talking to people or asking for help or anything, that's my first red flag that something is going wrong and I need help. The second temptation is to figure it out or just push through, right? This temptation is so real for me because I am a totally schizophrenic sheep, right? That thinks that she's a lion or a gazelle most of the time. So it is really easy for me to just face like a problem or a situation and just push through or just be strong and just think like, I can do this. Like if I just, you know, like have these systems in place, or if I like claim more, or if I read this book or whatever, like I can do this, I can figure it out. And obviously like just at the beginning of the pandemic, I tried that and that was clearly not working. I was like, my body was just not doing well. And I think as I sat and I listened to the voice of the shepherd, who was like, you need to just surrender, right? You need to surrender that you can't do this by yourself. You need to surrender and have the humility to say that you're a sheep because you're not a gazelle, right? Like you can't do this on your own. And I'm right here and I am speaking to you and I'm giving you words of life, but you won't surrender and receive them. And so until you do, you're going to flounder and you're going to suffer and you're going to have a hard time, right? So he's not saying he's going to change the circumstances. He's not saying that he's going to remove the rashes. He's not saying that he's ending coronavirus, but he is saying like, trust me as the shepherd. I will always give you good things. I will always lead you to what you need, but you need to be a sheep. And that's a really hard thing for me, but that's the second temptation for me to figure it out and push through. And the third temptation is to wander. This is just the dumb part, right? Like I'm a dumb sheep. I like to wander. I get lost easily. I get distracted. I eat lots of dirt, you know, like, and I don't listen to the voice of the shepherd. I think sometimes like sheep, we just wander out of the pen because we're distracted and we're like, oh, there's something shiny in that bush over there and I'm going to go. And then I get lost and I'm just filling my life with all these distractions and these different things. And I'm just lost in the huge like wilderness and I can't even find like, oh, where is the shepherd? Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, what is safety right now? Right? 11:30, I am scrolling on my Instagram for what? Like, I've looked over some of these posts already, like, and updates. I'm just scrolling on random people's posts now because that's what Instagram does. If you've already seen all the current posts, you're now looking at random people's posts. And I'm just scrolling when I should be sleeping. The voice of the shepherd is like, put down your phone. Like, you don't need this right now. You need to rest. And I am just wandering and being distracted and just scrolling through, right? And surely I am the only person that does this, I'm sure, but I just have a temptation to wander and just get distracted by stuff that is not helpful, right? And I'm not saying like, oh, it's never helpful or like, oh, you know, like watching shows is never helpful. I'm not saying that, but I do think that sometimes when we want something deeper, we don't listen to the voice of the shepherd. We just actually wander around and get lost and get distracted. And we eat dirt because we're like, yeah, I mean, you know, it was grass like 3 minutes ago, so I'm just going to keep eating. So friends, we have the good news that we follow a good shepherd. And I think that there are times that we don't follow him because we get distracted and we think we followed a hired hand instead. And we think that that's going to lead us to life and that's going to lead us to safety and to rescue. And it doesn't. You know, and I think more and more are realizing like what brings us life, what is helping us live deeply now. And I think that more of those things are showing themselves to be hired hands. But even so, I think as we look at these three temptations, the temptation to isolate, the temptation to just figure it out, or the temptation to wander, I just want to pray for us right now that we would keep our ear to the shepherd. And even that we would make space when we pray and see if God might have something to say to us or a picture that he wants to show us. There are spaces that we can connect with other people. And maybe we don't even share like all of what is going on, but it is just a way for us to connect with other people and not feel like we're alone. Our flock is there to be our defense, you know, if we would choose that. And so much of this pandemic pulls us into isolation, right? So let me just go ahead and pray for us. God, we thank you that you have given us the Good Shepherd, that the only way that being a sheep is good news is that we get to follow the Good Shepherd, and that you have given us a shepherd that will go beyond just the hired hand, that knows us and loves us and will lay his life down for us so that we may have life, so that we may be rescued and be taken care of. And God, man, we need your rescue. We need to be taken care of right now. There are some people here that are taking care of everybody else around them and wondering, who is seeing me? Who is taking care of me? Who sees my needs right now? And we know that you see us and that you are our good shepherd, and you will lead us beside still waters and green pastures. Even when nothing else seems to do the job, you will do that. And God, we also pray that you would help us stay connected to the flock, that we are not alone and that we don't need to be isolated, that you have given us a flock to connect to. And God, we just, we pray that you would help us to ask for help when we need it, and to reach out and to say that, man, I am not a gazelle. Please help me. So help us have the humility to do this together. We pray this in your name. Amen.